Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And I'd like to start by welcoming Jen. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. You were breaking up a little, and I don't know if it was just my phone doing that or if you are, but can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. How about me?
I can now, yep.
Okay, perfect. Jen, before we get started here, I wanted to mention a couple announcements.
Okay, great.
We have two upcoming at-home practice opportunities. The first is an at-home retreat, and that is Saturday, March 10th, and that's a day of guided practice with the monks and Sangha.
Excellent.
And then a new month-long email class with Sherry starts on March 16th, and that is Resistance in the Spirit of Inquiry.
Hmm. I know I said this last week too, but the timing of that class is just so perfect with ending the PDAP process and having a chance for conditioning to kick in its best, and then boom, we get that support again to look at the resistance and get to disidentify from it.
Yes, yes, perfect timing.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
So, you know, one last thing that occurs to me, was that it from you, Michael?
Yes, yeah, I was just going to turn it over to you.
Okay. One other thing that occurs to me to mention is I believe for people who were in the PDAP class, in the email class, that tomorrow at midnight is the deadline to sign up for some of the supports if you're still interested in being part of either of those teams. I think it's anyone who is a monthly donor at the $45 level or more is eligible for support with the monks, and then anyone who opts in either to Sangha Market or to the $300 for $1,000 process will be supported by Sherry. And I hear rumors that part of that support may be another radio show, special support for folks who are doing that. So that's a huge incentive right there.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, great.
So tonight is fun. It's a chance for people to call in and talk to Sherry about your PDAP plan, what's on the plan, what you saw in the process of doing it, just really anything that came up for people around doing that. And as with the other shows we've had as a support for the DPAP process, we'd ask that if you've already called in to talk to Sherry about another topic not related to your PDAP plan, if you would just call us back for a future show either next week or sometime in the future, that would be great because we're going to stick to our topic for tonight. So we're going to moderate the show in the way that we have the others, only slightly different in that we're going to ring the bell at 4 minutes to alert Sherry and the caller that we're coming to a close, and then again at 5 minutes to switch to the next caller. So we'll have that as well. And before we go into our callers, we have someone who agreed to be with us to start us off tonight to talk about his plan. Is Bob live with us? Welcome, Bob.
Hey, Jen. Hey, Michael.
Hey. So, Bob, I wonder if you could just tell us about your plan and what it was like to make it and anything else that occurs to you around the process.
Sure. When I got the email with the assignment to write out the plan, mm-hmm. I went through the same process I did, I think, with every single email class in this assignment in this email class.
Uh-huh.
And that was that I got the email, and then initially I was trying to, like, do it or think about it or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it always took me a little bit of time, but eventually came to realization, you know, this is not coming from center.
Right.
So I would, like, set aside some time to actually sit with something and then see what arises. And that's exactly what I did with the deepening practice plan.
Oh, that's really fun. So realizing, wait a minute, this is practice. I think I'll turn it over to practice, to life, instead of looking to conditioning to help me support, to create my practice plan.
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
And then in between those two things, I was really watching how every once in a while something would come up, and essentially what I kept being told is that either my plan was really small, or if I put this or that thing on the plan, it might be right or wrong. But when I actually sat with it and then went to attend to it, all these things came up, you know, retreats I wanted to go in, ways that I'm currently participating, ways that I want to participate, ways that you know, that I don't know about. Like, you know, can I raise $1,000 on Sangha Market? And yeah, and so I, and especially like with the Sangha Market one, it's really helpful. I think that, I'm pretty sure that Sherry said this at least once, you know, that the committing to raise $1,000 through Sangha Market was not, you know, signing my name in blood, you know, and there'll be consequences if I don't.
Right. We're going to take your credit card information. Right.
Right. And so my conditioning wanted me to go there. And what I decided to do is just trust that, you know, I could, I want to do it and I want to try it and I want to, you know, participate, and then we'll just see what happens.
Yep. And very, very likely, it sort of having that way of approaching it, that attitude of mind, all kinds of things will open up in exactly the same way as the plan did for you. So sort of starting off with this, trying to think about it and what would that be, and then sitting back and just sitting with it and allowing life to offer all of these options.
Well, exactly, yeah. And one of the things I saw was that, so from conditioning, the way that it was like, well, I had to commit to it, I had to do it, I had to know what I was going to do, I had to have a pretty good idea that it was going to be successful. And so it kind of cuts out that whole process of, one, just seeing what arises,
yep,
seeing what life presents,
yep,
actually getting the support that's being offered to everyone who's going to be doing it.
Yep.
And, you know, and I can just see, and I think I wrote this when I sent in my plan, it's like, you know, when I was considering my plan from conditioning,
uh-huh,
it all felt very small,
uh-huh,
and very constrained.
Uh-huh.
And that when I was looking at it from center, you know, everything just seemed open and possible, and not in the way that conditioning would want me to, like, say, well, yes, I can do that, but I'm willing to try.
And that's so perfect, because that's what the plan is, isn't it? It is a way of supporting yourself in living in that place, the place of just open, who knows, all the possibility is there.
Right, right. And then, you know, the... And so as I was filling out my plan and putting all the different things on it, you know, what I could start to see is like, well, these are all the things I'm committing to. I have no idea what's going to happen this year, you know.
Exactly.
I could have a heart attack tomorrow and not be able to do any of these things. I have no idea,
you know.
Or I can do everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, without at least putting them on there, I don't have that opportunity to kind of see what, you know, to like, you know, essentially just to put things in front of me that allow me to kind of see my conditioning.
Yes. Oh, that is so it, isn't it? Yep. That it's a, like you're creating your own mirror, which is what practice does for all of us. It puts up a mirror for us to be able to see the conditioning that's causing us to suffer, because normally we just go around and it just seems like me doing the me things. But having that mirror put up, we can actually see what's happening and then begin to have the option of making another choice. And so that sounds like that's what the process of the plan is doing for you.
Yeah, and what's really exciting about it is that I can put all these things on there and set all these intentions, and while I've certainly put up the mirror, you know, the Sangha is going to be out there. The whole year seems like it's constructed to support me in practicing with all this content and with that mirror.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I mean, I just take the 300 for 1,000 as an example. I mean, that's a big commitment for a lot of people and a stretch to, okay, how am I going to raise $1,000. But as you say, having that, you know, 299 other people right there with me, so that when I get talked into whatever or feel like it's not going to work or something like that, I can jump in and have the support of other people and sort of being, you know, we often use that image of birds flying in the V. And so sometimes I might be taking the lead and people are drafting off me. Other times I need to draft off of the other folks.
Yeah, I love that image. That's great. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, and what I'm left with is just excitement, and I don't even know necessarily what I'm excited about, you know. But it just seems like it's fun to like kind of throw myself in the middle of all this,
and then just
see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, Bob, that is such a good point. You don't even know what you're excited about, because really, that's the point, isn't it? That what we're practicing is the process of excitement or joy or peace or lit up. We're not practicing the something that makes me have that experience. We're practicing that process.
Right, right, yeah. And yeah, and it's just, yeah, and just like I think I probably said it, but it's like it's just, I think part of what makes it all exciting is just knowing that there are so many other people are going to be out there doing the same thing with slightly different content, but all kind of working toward the same thing.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yep.
Great. Well, thanks for starting us off tonight. Anything else you wanted to throw in before we open it up to other callers?
Nope. I think that's it.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. So, we'll welcome Sherry. Sherry, are you on the line?
I am. I am.
Excellent.
I'll tell you, when Bob said that about the excited, and I don't even know what I'm excited about, that so perfectly captures practice for me.
Yeah.
You know, I just walk around thinking to my, I mean, it's like an internal joke, you know, that I'm happy, I'm grateful, I'm excited.
Mm.
You know, how are you? I'm grateful, I'm happy, I'm excited. You know, it's like they all go together. And about what?
Mm.
Well, I guess that would be everything. I don't know. I don't know. I just know that I'm happy, I'm grateful, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's my experience of being in life and having life live me. And so just to think about it that way, that's actually what we're practicing, is being in that place where we feel that way, and there's no content at all.
Yeah.
Or there's every content, any content.
And that's the freedom for me, at least, because if it attaches itself to content, something could happen to the content, or I have to maintain that content, I have to hold on to it, or I have to, but when it's just the process, we're free.
Yeah, and you know, the we talk about magic, because there is so much magic in practice, so as stated, you know, the voices will come in and say, okay, so you've signed up, you're going to be one of those people raising $1,000, and if you don't do that, then something awful is going to happen to you. And so to look at that and realize that I can say to everybody taking that challenge, I don't care if you don't make the $1,000. All I care about is that you throw your whole self into practice, let life guide you, be lit up, be happy throughout the year, grateful for practice, excited about your life. That's all I really care about. But the magic of it is, anybody doing that is going to generate way more than $1,000.
Yeah.
And so it's one of, you know, it's like you can't let go of something in order to get rid of it. You know, it won't work.
Huh?
What you have to do is just sincerely let go of it.
Yeah.
And then probably it'll go away. There's no guarantee, but the odds are really, really good.
Yep.
So it's all of those places that, you know, make this a spiritual or a religious experience, because you can't get there logically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you try to explain it to somebody who hadn't had the experience, it just sounds like nonsense.
Right.
But anybody who knows the experience knows that, yes, that's exactly how it works.
Yep. It's definitely my experience.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's that favorite quote from, I think it was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, but I'm not certain. You know, I never know about these things. But, you know, they were doing that fundraising thing, or they were trying to get money to do something, and somebody says, but, you know, where's the money going to come from? And he says, from wherever it is now.
Yeah.
And that's that same process. Where's that $1,000 going to come from?
Yeah.
Well, from wherever it is now.
Yeah.
And as soon as we open up to that, it's going to come to us.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the money.
Yep. Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the, I guess it was last week when we were talking about Sangha Market and where the customer is going to come from, and realizing they're going to come from all over the place, because the energy is just going to pull it there.
Yeah, because it's more fun than, say, I won't mention any stores by name,
right.
going to unpleasant places and buying unconsciously created junk that serves nothing but the landfill.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what we were talking about last week, where we were saying you know, to really have it be everyone's go-to place. I need to buy a birthday gift or just something for myself. I need to buy lotion. That's going to be the first place I look for whatever I need to shop for.
Yes, I needed a bag for my little electronic toy, and I went right there, and
yeah.
There was somebody who would do that.
Yeah, it's great. So are we ready to jump in and start taking callers?
Bet.
You ready, Michael?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there? Okay, moving right along.
Hey, Michael, while the first caller isn't there, there's something that I've been thinking about since last week, and that is we had a woman call from Australia last week. I think Barbara was her name. And after that show, somebody had an idea for her about with Sangha Market and a possibility for her. So if she would contact us, contact the registration office at the monastery, we'll pass along that idea to her.
Great.
Now,
and
where's that caller?
Okay.
And Michael, that also gives me a chance to, excuse me, to remind folks that we'll be ringing the bell at 4 minutes and then again at 5 minutes.
Perfect. Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Pete calling from Hawaii.
Well, hello, Pete.
Hi. I mean, usually I call from China, but I'm calling from Hawaii this time.
Yes, well, and you're Pete tonight rather than Peter, so
Peter.
Would have thrown me off in two directions.
Yeah, I go by both, I guess, huh?
So what's going on?
Yeah, so, I like the way the call started because I'm actually going to be working on my plan this afternoon with a friend of mine in the Sangha, and I just was liking the reminder that that I heard about that it doesn't really matter, you know, about the kind of the result of what the content is of kind of what I'm going to be doing, but kind of reminding myself that the process, you know, going around while I do it is what's so fun about it.
Yes, that's the transformational piece, and the
right.
the result. It's, again, it's that magic place because the result is just a foregone conclusion because of
right.
how you'll go about getting there. In the same
yeah.
way that people who approach it in that clamped down, miserable, agonizing, worried, listening to the voices, the result for them is a foregone conclusion too because of the
yeah.
way they approach it.
Yeah, well, for me, like what had happened was I was waiting for the call and I was kind of getting really excited. I'm thinking about, you know, what I'm going to be doing and then almost like wanting it to be done already. Like I want to, you know, getting kind of really so excited because it lights me up and be like, well, I can't wait, you know, to see this thing finish and all that. And then forgetting completely in that moment, just like, that, you know, like you said, you know, like I could, you know, have a heart attack tomorrow or something, but the point is you know, not that finished product in a sense, but
yes.
but this whole thing, you know, that I'm going to be doing.
Yes. And of course, what I'm so hopeful for with people is that, so, you know, there's this thing that you're lit up about and that you want to do and you do that and you have a great deal of excitement and fun and fulfillment in doing it. And then life will just give you the next thing.
Right.
And you will do that in the same open-hearted way until we're so accustomed to life operating that way for us that it never occurs to us that we're sort of we're implementing life's plan all the time.
All the time, you say?
Yes, that life,
yeah.
You know, if we wanted to look, not in a, you know, we're not getting into that meant to be place, but you are a unique expression of life. There are things that only you can bring into life. And so what we're doing with this process is getting used to feeling what it feels like to be living in that groove, you know, in that zone.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I actually had a talk with my friend, you know, about how that kind of naturally comes out. Like, it's actually kind of what you mentioned in the email class, you know, about when you get lit up. I mean, that part of what is me and what, you know, what lights me up and what I, you know, it comes out through that process.
Yes, exactly. And so it just becomes not even second nature, first nature. Life gives you the next thing, and you just go. And pretty soon, there you are in the flow of life, just going from thing to thing to thing to thing that life inspires you to bring into existence.
Yeah, there's our bell. Yeah, I guess that's a good place to kind of conclude. And I was going to say that, it brings into life what I'm kind of here to do or what lights me up. And like we said, and I get to do what lights me up. And as a result, I'm kind of lit up through while I'm going through life.
Yes.
Doing
yes.
this process.
And you are a contribution on every, on every level, whether it's to your spiritual practice or it's the clerk in the grocery store who gets to spend a few minutes in the presence of lit up.
Yeah. Great reminder. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Pete.
Thank you. I'll talk to you again. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Pete. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Nancy. I just have had the most wonderful experience around the 300 for 1,000. From initially, just there was absolutely no way to even consider it, to getting really just ecstatically excited inside about the possibility of it. And
isn't that amazing to watch?
Oh, it's just, and it's so interesting to notice how automatically, it didn't even seem like there was a conversation around I couldn't do it. It just, I couldn't even look at it.
Yeah.
And then I suddenly thought, why not?
Uh-huh.
Why can't I? But what's really amusing me now is that I want to do some things with Sangha Market, and it's pulling all these little desires together. I've wanted to learn how to take photos of artwork, and I've wanted to learn how to post them online. And it's like, oh, well, here's this perfect, friendly place just waiting for me to do all these things.
Yes. You know, Nancy, that's so interesting to me because, and I don't know how many of the responses you've read, but there were a number of people in the class who said, you know, I've always had this idea for a business that I'd like to start. But, you know, of course, the voices were talking them out of it. And now here's this non-threatening and low-key way to do what the person always wanted to do, start a business, and just see what happens. So it's not like, you know, I have to quit my job or I have to whatever it is and, you know, get a building and start a business. I can just start my little business here and take it slowly and let it evolve.
Yes, that is just so thrilling to get to participate in that.
Yeah, no pressure. And there never is, right, as long as we're not getting our support and coaching from the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Right, so if we stay with life, then there is that. There was a great peace quote. I think it was today. And now, of course, you know, I read it just.
It was like relaxation is our natural state.
Well, tension is who you should be, or how, you know,
something like that.
Yeah, and relaxation is who you really are. And
yeah.
So it's that same pointing at that same place when we're operating from authenticity, when life is doing this through us, it can be relaxing. There's no pressure. There's no hurry. There's no standard you have to meet or judgment about how you're doing. You just get to, yeah, it reminds me of Lakota, I think, talking last week about making the bells and just, you know, you just take the next step and then the next step and the next step and there you are.
Well, I was taking something apart and putting it back together yesterday, and I went through all those stages of, I can't do this. Well, how about if I just try? Oh, this is never going to work. I'll try to get some help. Well, they can't come over, so I'll just try some more. And I finally did put it back together, and I have to admit, sometimes when I read your notes saying that you get up and dance a little dance for joy, I wonder how metaphorical that is. But when I project finish,
now you know, don't you?
Yeah, that's a great feeling.
You did a little happy dance, didn't you?
Oh, for quite a while. I was so proud of myself. I did a little song and dance.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where we want to live, right?
Oh, it's such a great place to be. And the thing got fixed. The person, you know, somebody got it. It just made my day. It was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Well, I hear our bell, so.
I know. But thank you for that, because that is that feeling of doing something that we've always wanted to do, told that we can't do, going ahead step by step, and then what it feels like when you finally get there. It's a joyous thing. So thank
you.
Yes,
and allowing it to be fun along the way too.
Precisely. Yep. Playing with the little people.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Hi.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Next caller, are you there? Okay, moving along here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Dana calling from Michigan.
Oh, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You know, it's so funny how many times I always want to, I call in and try to get through, and I most of the times don't, but my heart starts beating so fast when I hear it say unmuted. I'm like, oh, no, it's me.
So what's going on besides racing heart?
Well, I just I participated in the last email class, and that was my first email class, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm going to be signing up for the next one.
Good.
And, very exciting to participate in that. And I've decided I've been thinking about uploading things for the Sangha Market for a while, and now, you know, after taking the last class, decided that's something I'm going to finally do.
Good.
Artwork that I would like to upload. And so
just kind of excited about participating.
Yes, I'm very excited to participate. For a long time, you know, the voices tell me, well, you know, I've never been on a retreat. I haven't been able to do that yet. And so the voices say, well, you're not really a part of Sangha. You know, you really shouldn't participate. You should just kind of stay on the sidelines and watch. And so, you know, I'm kind of getting through that.
So the fact that the voices are saying that let you know that, in fact, you are a part of Sangha and you need to do, you need to participate more, right?
Yes.
Just because the voices are telling you you shouldn't.
Yes.
Got to get off those sidelines because that's where they want you to live.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's usually a good tip off. When they tell me not to do something, it's probably I should do the opposite.
Right. You know, truly, that's an excellent kind of just a most of the time. Now, of course, they will trick you, you know, so if you hear them say, oh, no, I'm sure you could handle four shots of tequila, that's one where, you know, well, no, that would be the opposite too, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it's a good rule of thumb that you can follow with that.
Absolutely. So, I'm very excited to be participating.
Good, good. And you've got a retreat somewhere out there in your not too far distant future?
I would love that. That's something I can, you know, again, it's one of those things where it's like I don't know the voices or if it's just, you know, kind of going between that or what might be reality because, you know, with the time I have off of work and all that, that might be kind of difficult for me to take the time off. But at the same time, I really haven't pursued it, so I guess I don't know until that's something I actually try.
Yeah, and you know all of those things that we always talk about that you, as soon as you make the commitment and you kind of set the intention and put it out there, it's amazing how things fall into place.
True, true. So,
good.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to talking to you in the next email class, if not before.
Great. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you,
Michael.
Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Dana. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
I know how it was supposed to go. If the voice says, oh, I bet you could take those 4 shots of tequila, that's when you want to do the opposite, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's how it goes. Good.
Yes, yes. And we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller. I'm getting a very spotty connection there.
Yeah.
Maybe you could try calling back in.
Gosh.
I can't understand. Can you, Sherry?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Technology is not our friend tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him to call back in, please. All right, moving on here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Paul from California.
Hello.
Hello? Hello, Paul from California. Can you hear me?
Almost.
Hello. Okay, yeah, I'm just... one more time, this is Paul, California.
Michael, can you understand the caller?
Yeah, it's Paul from California. I hear that. I wonder if Paul, if you could get a little better connection there, or speak up more into the phone.
Okay, this a little bit better.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, you can hear me.
Yes, it's a little iffy, but let's try it.
Okay. This is the first time I've never gotten through. I had tremendous doing this, but I'm here. And anyway, I just had an incredibly great idea for Song of Market.
Uh-huh.
It all kind of fell in place for me on Sunday, sitting on the couch, ready to turn on the basketball game. I kept not doing it.
Gosh, Michael, I'm sorry. I just...
Okay. Not a good enough connection.
Yeah, Paul, if you can get to a place for better reception and then try back.
Is this any better?
Oh, it's perfect.
Yes.
No. That's good?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Great. Now,
okay.
I think what I heard you say was you had a great idea for Sangha Market?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to brag, but I think it's really good. And, you know, it has to do with music. With, you know, I'm a professional musician in the past, and I have a little recording set up in my house.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it has to do with doing a song, but getting the lyrics from the email class. I used to have a great lyricist that I worked with in the past that used to get her lyrics from soap operas because there's a lot of powerful emotional sayings that you get from a soap opera.
Uh-huh.
But from the email class, from you, Sherry, and from some of the participants, there's some really powerful lines.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I would, you know, create a song using and patching together the lyrics from that and basically selling it for 99 cents per song, you know, per download.
Uh-huh.
On Sangha Market.
Uh-huh.
And it would be, you know, lyrics by Sangha.
Uh-huh.
This way everyone would sort of feel that they were, and, you know, it would be true, that they provided the actual words for the song.
Yeah. Well, that is a fun idea.
And it could also be sold on iTunes and other places.
Yeah.
Other spiritual type people would like it, I think.
Yeah.
And people could just ride around or walk around listening to these great kind of words from you and from Sangha, while, you know, to a rhythm, to a really up tempo kind of nice song.
Uh-huh.
So
that's
anyway,
great.
That is, I was just sitting there, it all just sort of fell in on me. I didn't even try to create anything. It just kept coming and coming, and I kept recording it.
And that's the best way, isn't it? Not trying to come up with anything, but it just keeps dropping in, dropping in, dropping in.
Yes. Yeah. So, and it's, you know, I've been sort of fooling around with music, but I didn't really have a goal, anything to do it for. And now I have something to do it for. Yeah, just making the commitment for that 300 to 1,000, all of a sudden now everything fell in place.
I love it. I don't know if you read it in the class, but somebody wrote in that, I don't know who it is, so I don't know if it's a he or a she, but the person wrote in that they had a Zen of improv thing that they do, and they wanted to, you know, do workshops to do the 300 for 1,000. And before the email class was even over, somebody contacted them and hired them to do one of those workshops for more than they already met their $1,000 and they had some extra to put in their pockets.
Wow.
It's all possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, I'm pretty excited about it because it just sort of opens up a whole thing for me to do what I love to do also.
Yes. And that's what I picture, that now you're going through, now you're living in a world of those messages, right? So you're finding the phrases that you like and you're putting them together in a way, and there's the music, and now hours out of your week, I hope, will be spent living in that attitude of mind and heart. And that's the thing that transforms our lives.
Right.
Very good.
And
I'm glad the connection improved, so I got to hear that.
Yeah, I had my headphones plugged into the cell phone, and I thought that would be a better connection, but once I took it out...
Yeah. All right.
I'm just talking around.
Well,
Okay.
I'll look forward to hearing the music.
Yeah, I might have to advertise it on open air, too, just to get the word out.
There you go. Perfect. All right.
Okay, well,
thank you
for everything, Sherry.
Uh-huh. You're so welcome. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us. And we have another caller, Sherry.
You know, Michael, it occurs to me we might take a quick time out to tell folks we're flying through callers, which is excellent. And so I just want to tell people this is a good opportunity to jump in and call in if you're not already on the line to talk about your plan. And then maybe after the next caller, we could take a quick break for our sponsors.
Sounds great.
All right.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jen. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
I'm not sure if I'm going to... Okay, I'm going to take it. I was going to pass it to Dan. So, let's see. I got stopped when we got to the point of committing to what exactly we were going to do with the Sangha, and I wanted to talk to you about that, or as far as I get in 5 minutes. So I'm still taking the email class. And I think I got stopped because, I have been participating in the Sangha and learned about it through my husband, and I love practicing with him, and I'm finding all of the practices very beneficial, very, very beneficial, very supportive. And there's another lineage path that I, you know, that I fell into, like, you know, 15, 16 years ago, that I also feel committed to. And somehow, the sense of competing commitments, just there's, I guess the voice is there's only, where are you going to put your energy is what's coming up. And the thing that I've talked about with you before that lights me up is teaching yoga in the schools, and I've never done the grant applications. I've only gotten private funding, very fortunately with help from private clients and a yoga center. And I've committed to writing grant applications, which I've been terrified of before, but that's sort of, that's the thing that lights me up, and that's the program that I'm growing. And so, I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but there's hesitation in doing this when I see very large expenses beyond what I have personally, and that's the other big project that lights me up. And I see this other tradition, so the voice is continuing. Where are you going to put your energy?
Well, you know, Debbie, that could be a clue right there. There's a voice talking to you and calling you you.
Right. And
so,
it's the same voice in various situations.
Yeah. So that tells me that's karmic conditioning.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah. So if it's karmic conditioning, then you don't need to actually engage with it, because what it's doing is trying to throw you off the track, which is what it sounds like it's being successful at doing. So to allow yourself just to sit still and for it to arise up within you, what it is that you want to do, and then to trust that life is going to give you all of the energy you need to do what lights you up.
Okay. Well, I'm ready to take steps on things that light me up, but, like, how do I tether? I mean, maybe I just can't tether writing grant applications for a project that's bringing yoga to the schools, and how I can turn that into something that raises money for Sangha. I guess that's where I'm at.
Well, that is how what you would want life to provide for you. So it can sit there as a koan, not as something that conditioning would challenge you with, and you've got to use conditioned mind to come up with an answer, but just, yeah, well, that is a koan, isn't it? So mentor, life?
Huh.
How are we going to work that one out? And it'll come.
Okay, that sounds great.
Good. All right.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. All right.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Debbie. Again, I wanted to, as you did a moment ago, encourage folks to call in. Looks like we're going to have some time in the show here.
I know.
And go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying that's great. We might use this format once in a while. Just have so many people on the line. It's really fun.
Great. So let's hear from our sponsors, and then we'll come back on the air.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about open air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Michael?
Sherry, yes.
I just want to underline something. The level of wisdom in that last line of that, last couple of lines of that advertisement, are just something that we can all benefit from, I think.
Yes.
So to be lit up about the things that we are told or taught to believe we don't like.
Yes.
You know, it kind of, it takes me back to what Nancy was saying about, you know, I'm going to fix this thing, and then all of that, you can't do that. You don't know how to do that. You need somebody else to do that. Who's going to, and then going ahead and doing it. It's just, it speaks so perfectly to what practice is. So there's something that I'm told I don't like, and I'm going to find out how to be lit up doing that. That's freedom.
It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff. Do we have anybody else to talk to, Michael, or is it just going to be you and me?
We have Jen here, too.
Okay.
And we have a couple other callers.
Good.
Okay.
I know people made plans. I don't know why they're being shy about telling us, because we know they've made them.
Yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. It's Rebecca from Texas.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hey.
I bet you made a plan, didn't you?
Oh, I have made a plan. But you know what? It's kind of funny that it's hard to get it down on paper. I've been working on my posters, you know, that I do every year for my yearly plan, and it's like I just can't list everything, you know, because, you know, I've been around a long time, and I've sort of immersed myself in this practice, and there's just so much, you know.
Does
I don't know where
feel
to.
Is it kind of overwhelming when you see it, when you put it all down in front of you?
You know, it's not overwhelming. It kind of evokes a funny thing in me, I've noticed. It evokes this competitive thing, like, okay, the only thing missing on this list is the month-long deepening practice thing. How can I get that on here? You know, and that's sort of the interesting reaction that it's brought in me. But
I still have that 15 minutes unaccounted for, right?
what I keep thinking of is I still have one kid at home, and as soon as he's out of here, I'm going to the monastery for a month at a time. but what I wanted to, what this show is bringing up in me, what I wanted to look at and celebrate tonight is how over the years this yes, this saying yes and just stepping deeper and deeper and deeper into practice, it seems like it's all culminating in this wonderful year of just an explosion of opportunities and this sort of wealth of support that that now that does feel a little overwhelming in a good way. It's like just I don't, you know, the gratitude and just how am I going to ever take all this in, you know?
Yeah, I do know.
Yeah, and
I know
and
exactly.
Yeah. You've been
why
expressing
me,
it. Exactly. And why me? And oh my God, how let's see, how can I put it into words? How perfect every single step of the way has been. It's all been leading to this. And what I've been seeing is that there's been this really deep conditioned belief that is just getting blown out of the water. And the belief is that all along there was this little part that thought she had to do this by herself. That whatever she, quote, accomplished in this life, she was going to have to do by herself. And, oh, this is making me want to cry. And what this year is so, pointing to is that it's never been by herself. She's never been by herself, and she never will and never could, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And it doesn't take anything away from her. Because that's such a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's like, it's all up to me. I have to do it all myself. Poor me is
mm-hmm.
part of that. But it's
mm-hmm.
also, and by golly, I'm going to, and I have, and look what I've accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of those take care of an authentic being. Neither side of that takes care of the heart, because there's always been a sincere person there doing the best she could and being told she's on her own, being told she has to stay on her own, it's all up to her, never being allowed authentically to take in everything that she's doing and contributing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's now she can be there and realize she's not alone, but everything she contributes is celebrated by everyone.
Yes, and what else gets supported in that is this wonderful recognition of what is genuinely her contribution, her individual, it's sort of, you know, I hesitate to use the word individual contribution, but it is. It's like
yes.
what's uniquely hers to contribute
yes.
gets supported
yes,
and celebrated. Yeah.
Yes. And that it's, again, it's one of those places that from a conditioned perspective, there is no place for. So how could she make a unique contribution that is uniquely hers to make and not have that compete with anyone else?
Yes.
So that
yes.
everyone has a unique contribution, and there's an equality in that that doesn't take away from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
We can have all the flowers in the world, and we need them all, and we don't have to decide which is more important and which is the most beautiful and which is we don't need to do that, because we want them all to be exactly as they are.
Yes, and from that place, every flower gets to enjoy every other flower.
Precisely, because
mm-hmm.
it's a team.
Yeah.
It's not a competition.
Yeah. And then to just then add on this possibility of money being abundant and a part of it, it's just like, wow, that's just really too much. We get to be appreciated and get paid for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is just too much.
This is too much. Let's have more of that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh. Well, thank you. Deep, deep thanks and deep bows to you and everyone. All of us.
All of us. And
that's
all
right.
of us. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Well,
thank
have
you,
a
so.
Great night.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. My name's Joan. I'm in Berkeley.
Hello.
And hi, Sherry and Michael. There's a scared little girl in here, so I may forget everything that I wanted to talk about. But I have...
Here's the thing, Joan.
Yes.
Don't forget to breathe.
Okay.
So we can all go.
Okay.
There we are.
All right. So, you know, I rediscovered this practice about a month ago, and I'm just absolutely amazed at how I've opened up in just a month. So I thank you so much for everything that's offered and that I've been able to participate in so far. And I participated in the email class. I plan on going to a couple retreats.
Yeah, because we're neighbors.
Yes,
yeah.
I actually came up for meditation on Sunday.
All right, so you know we're just down the road.
Yeah.
Good.
And it was just an amazing experience. I was there for a workshop about 10 years ago. So
that was a little different, huh?
It's very different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've committed to Sangha, and I've also committed to 300 for 1,000. And I'm kind of overwhelmed with ideas.
Isn't that great?
And not sure which direction to go in or wanting to do all of them. And you know, they're all kind of different.
Uh-huh.
So
a couple of things that I want to comment on before we go any farther. I just love mm-hmm. that you can see such a change in yourself. It sounds like from what you said, and I think you said you're so.
Oh yes, absolutely.
In a month.
Yes. Yes.
A month.
It's
Isn't
just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not feeling it at the moment, but.
Yeah. Well, but now you're into terror, so that makes it hard.
Right.
And then the second thing is that feeling of, oh my gosh, there is so much more I could do so much more I want to do than I think I'm ever going to have time or energy for.
Mm-hmm.
I so know that place. And
mm-hmm.
And to be able to just again, you know, take a deep breath and know that life there's some quote about time is God's way of making sure everything doesn't happen at once. And so
mm-hmm.
there's that knowledge that we can have or trust that we can have that life perfectly orchestrates what there is for us to do in
mm-hmm.
the amount of time that it takes for us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can rest assured that with all of those possibilities, life will bring to the fore what's the first thing for you to do. So that you don't have to worry about it, in other words.
Yeah. It seems like there are several first things to do.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
One of them will bubble up to the surface unless there are two or three things that you do sort of simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
But I always take comfort in that I've never actually had more to do than I can do. It can feel that way,
yeah.
But it never actually is that way.
Okay. And I was just wondering, logistically, if we have suggestions for, like, ways to improve Sangha Market or something, is there, where
oh, yeah.
would we
yeah.
present
you can,
those?
You can actually send those along to Nancy.
Okay.
Nancy's the one who is making Sangha Market happen, and so you
is
can
there,
let her know.
Is there a and how would I find her?
you know, that's a really good question. I think that it's part of the Sangha Market that if you need help with, there's a way to ask for help or give that sort of comment.
So go to Sangha Market.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Okay.
I think you'll find it there. If not, let the registration office know and we'll point you in the right direction.
Okay. Alrighty.
Good.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
All right. It wasn't so bad, was it?
Well, it's getting better.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
The call goes along.
Now, here's the next thing about it.
Okay.
Don't listen. Don't entertain a single voice when you hang up the phone, because what they'll want to do is make you believe that you didn't complete a single intelligent sentence the whole time that we were doing this. So what people have learned to do is wait for the archives, you know, wait for the podcast to come out and listen to it again and prove that their assessment of our performance is meant to make us feel bad, not to help us do better in the future.
You know, that reminds me of when I did the workshop 10 years ago, I guess we were doing some recording and listening. And I don't remember exactly because it's been such a long time ago, but feeling myself talk and then listening back to it was like two different things.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So once again, the thing we can take from it is those voices lie.
Okay.
All right, very good.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, John. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Huh.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Penny.
Hello, Penny.
Calling from the back porch.
Very good. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about putting together the practice plan.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the things that was interesting to me was just how all the things that I do. And I remember we aren't doing Best Year Yet this year, but I remember that part of the Best Year Yet process was to start with acknowledgments.
Yes.
Because they power the next phases. And so it was just a really neat experience to sit down and actually write out all the things that I do and acknowledge that.
Yes. Yes. It's that thing of when people think about what they want, they almost never think about what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody said, you know, what do you want? Most folks would start a list of everything other than what they've already got.
Right.
And so then you say, well, but do you want your house? Do you want your car? Do you want your health? Do you want your, well, yeah. But what I want is something other than that. That's
right.
what I want is. So I'm going to make a practice plan, and that automatically gets translated into it's doing something other than what you're already doing.
Yeah, so making a plan that includes what I'm already doing was a very wonderful experience.
Yeah, starting out with this last year, I participated in all of these things. This is what my practice plan was for last year, whether it was a formal plan or not.
Right, right.
Yeah. And now.
And another thing that was really interesting, and as I look at that, is as I recall, when I sort of added each of these things to my life, what conditioning wanted to tell me, I think each time was there wasn't time to add one more thing. And so it was really fun to look at all these things and realize that time is really not a problem at all. I mean, it was one of those occasions of really catching how blasting through that voice each time and is really important.
Yes. Yeah. Because it doesn't seem like it when we're on this side of the line, you know, looking to the future. You know, well, you're so busy already, there's just no way you're going to have the time or energy to add these other things. And then when we do add them, we realize that what we're not doing any longer, what actually got taken out of our lives, were the things that we were doing that didn't actually feed us.
Right. And as I look to adding some new things, I can see that. I can see that the things, and I mean, the voices, of course, are still saying, oh, well, don't add anything more. And I can look and see all the places that time and energy go that are not nurturing at all. And that opens up that possibility again of then adding the things that are nurturing.
Yes. And that's, of course, the so much of the point of the next email class on resistance, because all of that resistance that arises, oh, no, you can't do that. Don't do that. You don't have the time. It costs too much money. How are you ever going to – is precisely because karmic conditioning sees that it's losing its ability to control our time and energy.
Well, and the time and energy that goes into the resistance is the time and energy that could be freed up.
Yes,
precisely.
Instead of being in that conversation about what I don't have, I could just go ahead and do what I want to do that lights me up.
Yeah. So this I guess what I want to say is the process of just putting together the plan has just been so helpful and reinforcing. And then another thing that comes up is just the astounding sense of momentum and excitement in Sangha.
Yeah.
That one of my favorite quotes from you is, life is a tidal wave. And it feels like Sangha currently is just riding a tidal wave. And to listen to all the energy and feel all the energy is just part of sweeping us along to take those next steps and really getting that we're not doing this alone at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's really powerful.
It is powerful. Of course, you've been around a long time, so you probably have heard me talk about everything that I ever talk about. But for the longest time, I've had this fantasy about doing – it came as a screenplay about a group of people – who decided that they wanted to change the world, not because the world needed to be changed, but because they just wanted to do it. And there were all of these rules about that. You couldn't ask for anything from anybody else. You couldn't blame anybody else for the way things were. This group of people, they just wanted to start tackling the difficulties, the things that people struggle with, homelessness or hunger or whatever it is, because they wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And the whole point behind it was that anybody could join them. And what would cause people to want to join them is that it became obvious that this group of people was having more fun than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's why somebody would want to join, not because it would make them a better person or they'd be a bad person if they didn't, but simply because it's a happier way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels to me like we're getting kind of close to living that.
Yeah, and as I hear you say that, it's sort of like what you've been describing, which is, you know, it's not a screenplay, but life has dropped it in a whole other way.
Yes, yeah. And in fact, in that way that we talk about, maybe that's what I was seeing, all those years ago, is that possibility. And
mm-hmm.
It came as a screenplay, but it was actually just a sort of a scene of where we were going as a sangha.
Right. And then I just would add one other thing, which is that I'm also having that experience of finding myself doing something I've thought about doing for years and years, but this provides the impetus to actually do it.
Uh-huh.
And I also am having that experience of having lots and lots of ideas, and so how do you sort them out? And what I'm finding is that the main thing is to stick it on the calendar and then sit down and do it.
Yes.
Just do it.
Yeah. And that when you have, at least this is my experience, when I have all of those things, I'd love to do that, just living in that enthusiasm is plenty, whether I ever do any of them or not, misses the point completely.
Yeah, yeah. I used to have an employer who used to talk about that kind of thing as a high-class problem.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm enjoying the high-class problem right now.
Uh-huh. Of more things that I want to do than I have time or energy to do. And watching life figure out how to give me the extra time and energy to be able to do all of these things that I want to do because I would love to do them.
Right.
That is a problem.
That is a real big problem.
Yeah.
So thanks,
Sherry.
Right.
Oh, thank you, Penny. Good night.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Penny. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, Jen, wow.
Yes, Michael. another fun conversation with some fabulous people.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I'm really glad we're going to be carrying through having a radio show platform to support the DPAP process. It's really, it's such a great way to add support to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So more about that soon. I guess we're gonna announce how and when that's gonna take place as soon as we have more details on it.
Yep.
And I guess tomorrow night at midnight, or 12:01, we'll know who all is being invited to participate in that next support, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah. I really can't believe this is our last show on the DPAP process. We're going to have to think of other reasons to do special radio shows because it's really a lot of fun.
It is. And probably the people who have been waiting just to talk about regular old practice issues are going to be glad that we're not doing any more special shows for a while. So I hope those people who have been patient with this whole thing will give us a call next week and we'll just get down and talk about practice.
Yep, I think we will. We've even got one lined up, I think, so who we carried forward from another show.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Talk
to you
soon. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.